Brewing with Style is brought to you by Northern Brewer, with fast shipping, expert advice, and all the ingredients and equipment you need to make the best beer possible. Visit them today at northernbrewer.com. This is the Brewing Network's Brewing with Style, hosted by Jamil Zainashev and Mike Tasty McDole, along with special guest Jonathan Plisé. Now, here's Jamil.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show.
You got corked. That was a tough bottle, man.
One cork, I tell you.
Jamil struggling mightily with a Chimay cork.
Tasty and Jamil.
Brother Thelonious cork.
What do you think, corkscrew?
I got shitty corks from United Bottles. They sent me some real pieces of shit that they said were... Oh, no, it's the corks we send to everybody. There's nothing wrong with them. And they were just extra tight in the bottles, just like that one that you see torn off on the Brother Thelonious. I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with them.
Corks.
A lot of people are complaining about them, but for multiple breweries, but no, they don't see it as a problem. Tough luck. I had to throw away hundreds and hundreds of dollars of corks, and they're like, well, why don't you sell them to, like, more beer?
To a homebrew shop for winemakers.
Right. I'm like,
brewers.
No, because they're bad. No, they'll take them. They're bad.
Yeah.
Really pissed me off.
Made you eat it, huh?
There you go. Yep.
That's thick.
And I'm like, hey, how about you give me a discount on, you know, like some bottles or something?
Nope.
No. Feel for you, but tough luck.
You never shop there again, I take it.
Well, you know, I'll use something else.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Hey, Bevo, can you go get us a corkscrew?
Yeah.
I was actually just messaging you. I think we have Brother Thelonious on draft also.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Not anymore. Wow. Oh, it's still on?
Even
I thought
it
went off.
All that effort.
It may not be, but I thought we had it.
Nice, Bevo.
It was just on.
It was the beer menu right off the top of her head.
Well, I'll tell you who would not sell you bad corks.
Northern Brewer, right?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Our fine sponsor, Northern Brewer. They vet the quality of all the products that they have. They're home brewers there, and they use those products. They try them out. They make sure that you know what they're going to sell you is products they would use themselves. They give you the selection that they want themselves. They give you the selection that beyond what they want for themselves. They give you great shipping, great customer service. They give you all that stuff. And all you got to do is go to northernbrewer.com, check them out. They've been paying for this show for 8 years. So you ought to show them a little bit of love if you enjoy this thing.
And I believe when you receive your corks, you just open them. You don't boil them.
Right.
You don't sanitize them.
Get a bag of corks.
They've been probably pre-HEPA filtered.
And
be clean.
You're supposed to use those, but no.
Okay.
So there you go.
There you go.
What can you do? All right.
style today.
As you might have guessed, our style's Belgian double.
Double.
Right?
One of my
rich,
favorites.
Rich malty, huh?
Yeah,
huh?
It's very strong malty Belgian. You know, this beer ranges from dark amber to copper, you know, has hints of ruby highlights. You should smell dried fruit, you know, maybe some spice, figs, subtle alcohol, but it shouldn't be astringent. Definitely some malty sweetness coming through in the nose as well. You know, in the flavor, you get this kind of synergy of maltiness, esters, maybe some oxidation from the esters over time, some dried fruit, like I said before, but and also like a warming character. You know, this beer is meant to be drank slowly, gets better as it warms up, gets better as it ages too. But it's a very strong malty beer.
Well, and I think the critical thing on this is, the rich maltiness.
Rich.
But,
rich.
The proper fermentation profile. So,
okay,
it can start off sweet, but it needs to finish fairly dry, and it's got to have a lot of ester character into it. So, it doesn't necessarily need those phenolic spicy notes, but the rich fruity cherry, plum, all that stuff is a big part of it.
And a lot of that's yeast derived, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You know, the yeast character is critical in this. It's like you couldn't make this with a Kolsch yeast.
No.
Or California.
Or even ale.
Yeah.
Like most Belgian beers, it's a high phenolic, you know, kind of character.
Right, right. And it's absolutely important to it.
And the yeast really influences the base malts of these beers and the coloring agents of these the malts used. Right? It kind of accentuates maybe the Karaveen you use in this beer or the Munich malt, right? It'll kind of bring it out, maybe. You give me those crazy eyes.
Oh, you're talking about the flavor.
The flavor, yes.
Okay. It just says color or something in there. Obviously.
Maybe, I misspoke.
Right. And the color of these, I mean, we've got, some beautiful color in here, and we're tasting Brother Thelonious. We're tasting Chimay Red. And Vestmal Double.
Hmm.
So, nice selection here, Scott.
Thank you. I was surprised to find that the Brother Thelonious, the Anderson Valley beer, was not on the classic styles, classic examples.
Right. Well.
How come? Is it too new?
Not necessarily.
It's not as widely distributed.
Right. I'll tell you this. The style examples generally have a considerable Midwest kind of influence to them. Minnesota, if they can find beers over there, then, you know, they're more likely to include them. And sometimes, you know, so you may not find them here, or they may skip beers here that are prime examples or not. All right, let's do this. Let's take a short break. While we take the break, we're going to be tasting and sampling, and we'll come back with our notes on these three beers, so you can play along at home. Back after this.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over. Oh no, those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol.
Oh, it can't be done.
Come with me if you want the beer.
Some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's going to get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you massive selection and superior customer service, comes the Home Brewer.
Beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for every beer style. I want a Cicerone.
The Cicerone Certification Program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone Program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerone are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Tonight is the night.
We bring the creature to life, Dr. Blitzenstein?
Yes, J.P. Gore. Everything is perfect for my next fermented creation.
But, Doctor, this thorn is too far away. We'll never have enough power to isomerize the creature's alpha acid.
Yes, JP Thor, we will. For I have in my possession the Tower of Power!
Glickman's new Tower of Power is the evolution of automation. Control hot liquor, sparge, and mash temps like a pro. The Tower of Power is a high-quality gas-fired rim system that works with your current brewing setup. With ultra precision, the tower can hold your mash to one half of a degree Fahrenheit. Precision and repeatability. The Tower of Power is the answer to automatic, fast ramp times. See more at BlickmanEngineering.com. Bring your next creation to life with the Tower of Power.
Dr. Blickmanstein, with the Tower of Power, you can probably give me an afternoon at the pub to enjoy a pint.
Don't be silly, JP Thor. We have beer to brew.
The biggest innovation in brewer's yeast in 125 years is here.
Yeast that has never been exposed to the environment.
See it for yourself at NHC in Grand Rapids.
Pure yeast fermentation.
White Labs.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and the freshest ingredients, backed by the best customer service in the business. New items include the Big Oxygen Kit for economical wort aeration using common welding oxygen tanks, and the Unistat line of external thermostats for easy control of both electric heaters and refrigerators. In addition, they've just mashed their new oatmeal stout malt extract, so you can make those tasty winter oatmeal stouts and porters without mashing. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com today and browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
You're listening to Brewing with Style on the Brewing Network. Now back to Brewing with Style.
Belgian double.
All right. So we answer our own question on the Brother Thelonious. It's too high in ABV for double. You know, a lot of the character of it is double-like, but it would be more appropriately a Belgian strong dark.
And I called it an Anderson Valley beer, which it is most certainly not. It's North Coast. So the only thing I got right was that it's called Brother Thelonious.
Man, it's definitely not.
Thelonious.
Did I screw that up too? For God's sake.
You got that right.
Right. So it's a nice beer. It's
It doesn't taste that much higher in ABV or any higher, really, to me.
No. I get it. I tell you.
I mean, it's clean, but it's...
No, I get a weird...
You get candy?
I get a vinegar and kind of...
Vinegar.
Smoke.
It's weird.
If you take a small sip.
Mm-hmm.
Funny when you say that. It's like cloying.
Or something very, very wrong with that. Kind of an odd...
Well, it's not clean. Huh?
It's gonna be meaty. Low pH.
Meaty.
Meaty. Meaty like honey?
In-N-Out burger meat.
Oh, meaty.
Meaty, yeah.
In-N-Out?
You get that In-N-Out meat. Just the meat of In-N-Out. Like a hamburger meat. Kind of like a grilled meat hamburger. Everyone's staring at me like... I've lost
my freaking
mind.
Charred.
Bump your head
on raw, charred red meat.
No, like a griddle one, not a char. That would be Burger King. I did not say Burger King. I said In-N-Out. Let's be accurate here in what we're talking about.
It's high-quality ground beef.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Right, right, right. On a griddle.
On a griddle.
Yes.
Okay.
Not on a flame broiler. On a griddle. And then with a dash of vinegar.
Jeez.
Wow.
Do you guys get that? I don't get any of that.
I get bubble gum, but I don't get...
you know?
Maybe
I get the vinegar
I hit my head.
It's like in the back of the throat. Ugh. What do you think of the Westmall?
I think I want the rest of that West.
Mike, bring it here.
Well, you guys notice I fill my glass now.
Yeah, I can
notice
tell.
You get more than me.
I'm just like, yeah, screw it. I'm just going to fill my glass. I don't care if I'm sharing with everybody.
It's mine.
If you guys need more, Scott, you should buy bigger bottles.
I'm buying less than I was before when we were first doing the show. I was getting like six packs of everything, mm-hmm. and I was coming home with five of them.
Right. So now
you're not
working
it right.
Now I fill my glass all the way so I don't run out.
I got to go back to a six pack.
Probably.
Whatever we don't consume, just put it in your refrigerator.
Yeah.
Sell it.
Oh, perfect.
Mark it up.
Buy it at retail and sell it at retail.
Yeah, he used to put it in his refrigerator at home.
Right, right.
That's where all that beer went up.
Yes.
Yeah.
My friends.
Beers get sent
right
in.
Right down the gullet.
Right. All right. So, Scott, what do you think? What's your impression of the beers before you? Before ye?
Well, they were all very highly carbonated, I thought, across the board.
Right.
And so is that appropriate for the style?
It is.
Okay.
When, again, we were talking in the previous show, at the beginning, in my rant in the previous show, about I'm ranting quite a bit more.
You're good at it.
I am becoming the crazy curmudgeon. I really am.
Wasn't there a guy that used to write in Angry Jamil?
Yes.
You've become caricature.
I have become Angry Jamil, yes.
good old days.
Damn. Actually, yeah, I have.
The carbonation, isn't that so that you could, when you pour it, you get a nice,
right,
appropriately
nice
sized
head? Right. And
which
also
balances the beer out. The carbonation should be out by then.
It helps with some of the thickness of the beer, helps, you know, dry it out. We were talking earlier about, you know, small session beers need lower carbonation. And you said, well, then by that rule, does, you know, bigger beers need more carbonation? This is one of the examples where bigger beers have more carbonation, and it's you know, it's appropriate to the style because it helps cut some of the sweetness that's there, from that rich maltiness. I mean, they're big beers with quite a bit of residual, and you know, having the carbonation lightens them up, also, you know, drives some of the aromatics.
But you do want to pour it somewhat vigorously because you want a big head on a beer.
Yeah,
thickness.
You want it to, yeah, you know, be
vigorously.
Thank you. The Chimay, I thought, had the most complexity, I guess. I got like vanilla cream soda out of it, and it just tasted superbly balanced to me. And you could really sort of enjoy the yeast character. Everything about it was really pleasant, I thought. The West Mall was even more carbonated than the Chimay. It was like too much, and I love carbonation. I have a soda stream. All I make is carbonated water all the time. I love carbonation. But even this was too much for me.
Wow.
And it had a little sort of bitter character to it that didn't taste appropriate. But maybe that was just up against the Chimay. I don't know. And then the Brother Thelonious is, I would guess it was the same style, you know? It uh-huh. doesn't taste that different to me. And I definitely don't get any of the double ground beef, as it were.
You get the vinegar?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit when you swallow it on the sort of back of the throat. But I would
you shoot it to the back of your throat.
Well, you know, swallow? It doesn't come out that quickly. I wouldn't have picked that up unless you said something. No way.
Right.
No way. But I think the Chimay's fantastic.
Okay. So you'd have Chimay 1, West Mall 2, Thelonious 3, or
no,
Thelonious 2?
I'd go Thelonious 2, yeah.
No. There you go. John?
The Brother Thelonious. Thelonious. I liked it when it was colder, uh-huh. but as it warmed up, that vinegar note came through.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's enough esters there, or that phenolics that you want in a Belgian double. That spiciness was a little too clean. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely more of a Belgian dark, mm-hmm. strong. Mm-hmm. The Chimay, I found that, I don't know what happened to Chimay, but it used to be really good like 15 years ago in the bottle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but.
I like the blue better, but that's a dark.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know. The Chimay has good phenolics. It's clean. It's kind of clean, but you can tell it's aged. You can tell it's been traveled.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a beer two style, so I can't complain there. But the West Mall, you know, I was going to make it third, but I make it number one now because when I first poured it, it was overcarbonated,
mm-hmm.
and it had an astringency. But now that carbonation is gone, that astringency is gone, and now I get more of this malty kind of phenolic note to it,
mm-hmm.
and it's way more drinkable now that it's been out for about 10, 15 minutes.
Can I just say now that I'm smelling the Thelonious and as it's warming up, and I'm now all of a sudden smelling like a kind of a soy sauce thing, which when I think ground beef in my head or cooked beef, yeah.
Way soy saucy.
Yes.
Way
umami.
Oh, yeah, and the aroma. That's spot on. Nice. I mean, I could add that to like white rice right now. Wouldn't even matter.
All right. So let me you'd pour that on some sushi. You'd be happy.
Yeah. Rice for breakfast.
So let me recap here. You've got what? Vesmol is one. Chimay two. Thelonious three.
Yep.
Tasty.
Yes.
Tasty.
Well, I like both the Chimay and the Vesmol. I like the Vesmol a lot better. What I do like about the Chimay is it has really interesting esters, a little bit of like a lot of dried fruit character, particularly maybe some apricot. I get a little bit of a earthy, like a peanut shell kind of character from it. I don't know, maybe that must be a grain thing or something
peanut shell.
That.
Very nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and the aroma for sure.
Yeah.
Like a cardboard nut.
I call that doughy.
Doughy,
like
okay.
wet dough, bread dough.
Maybe so.
Yeah, it is doughy.
So that kind of gets in the way a little bit. But boy, the Vesmol, man, it's got a really unique flavor. It's got, you know, a big middle, a big, you know, almost over, and then a great finish. It's just got a lot more bumps in the palate. It's not just one flavor. It's hits lots of spots. And frankly, the carbonation, it actually adds to the beer, I think. I think I like that little spritzy thing at the end. Sort of acts as a palate cleanser, sort of like clears your palate for the next sip.
I think it is a bit much. You got to pour it kind of aggressively.
Yeah, I got to pour it out.
Yeah.
That's all I do. That's what the brewer had in mind, right? I
mean, right.
You know, I wonder, like, I question sometimes
people
breweries that put
easing beers into glasses.
That's appropriate.
Like, pour it with some vigor.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Put a head on that bitch. I mean, on that beer. Yeah.
That applies to most Belgians, right? Just you want that head.
You want Belgian head. Bottle like that. I mean, it's a high-pressure bottle. It's got that, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's going to be at least probably three, maybe a little over three volumes.
Well, and we're assuming that beer is only a few months old.
Yeah.
Tops.
Cool.
Will this yeast, is it a specifically a Belgian double yeast?
Well, it's a Belgian double yeast because Vesmol uses that to brew their beer, and then when we talk about double yeast, we're talking about the Vesmol yeast.
Okay, I'm asking because I'm wondering if does it create more carbonation naturally, or are you supposed to overcarbonate, force carb?
Oh,
when bottle conditioning happens.
Yeah, interesting. You know, just about any yeast will pressurize and carbonate a beer to that level, you know, to 3.5 volumes. I think that almost all of them would. I would imagine that some are better at carbonating, high levels of carbonation than others, because that carbonation, it puts a stress on the yeast.
Pressure.
And it can actually stop the yeast from, it really suppresses the activity of the yeast. So I can imagine some would carbonate better than others. I'll have to ask Chris if he has some knowledge of that or not. That's a very interesting question.
Because I'm just picturing, you know, a homebrewer hearing this and going, well, should I over-carb it and then pour it really vigorously for my Belgians?
Oh, yeah. For Belgians, you want a stronger bottle, and then you want to hit like 3.5 volumes, and you cannot do that in a regular American beer bottle because they'll crack.
Really?
They'll go up to like 3 plus.
I think I did a 4 in a regular long neck.
Yeah, yeah. They'll get up to there.
I was putting some judges in some jeopardy, I think.
Right, right.
And stewards.
Yeah, those bottles generally do about 3, and then past then you're really playing with fire.
Yeah, I looked for you know, you look at 12-ounce, you look at them, there's some lighter spots in them.
Right, right.
Yeah. I hand-selected some that looked to be pretty uniform.
Look darker.
Yeah.
Because you'll see like you're saying, you'll see a divot and a light spot in it.
Yeah, there's like a light spot.
And those are where the bottles will shatter.
Yeah.
So you got to be real careful.
Right.
Hey, way to look out.
Champagne bottles, things like that. yeah, but you do carbonate them high. So you add more priming sugar and get them to crank out like that. Let's do this.
What, do we, are you going to give your opinion when we get back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You're going to have to wait. I'm teasing the next thing here. I could do it now. I don't know. We'll do it when we get back.
You tease the tease.
We'll have a long third segment. So when we get back, I will reveal the true order of the winners after this.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch out!
Do you still like to have a good time? The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood,
made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, Jamil.
Whether I'm making me dry stout or rebuilding me kegs, I head to the heart of dear Dublin for me homebrewing supplies.
You head all the way back to Emerald Isle just for a wee batch of grain or a bit of keg tubing?
No, you moronic waste of liver. Dublin, California. I go to HopTech.
For 30 years, HopTech in Dublin, California has been supplying homebrewers with malt extract, fresh grains, hops, spices and sugars, hop oils and extracts, and much more. HopTech is one of the first homebrew supply shops on the internet and is proud to offer a award-winning beer kits, both online and in their store, where they offer a 10% discount to all AHA members. The store is open every day except Wednesday or shop online at hoptech.com anytime. HopTech is run by passionate, award-winning brewers who live, love, and travel for beer and bring their experience to the store for you.
If you don't want to visit Dublin, just call toll-free 800-379-4677 or go to hoptech.com.
Visit HopTech today in Dublin, California and at hoptech.com.
Hey, Wooly, I'm beat. Can we find a nice tree to just hang out in for a while?
You're beat? I've been swinging through this forest for 50 years, ever since we
first escaped from the circus. I know, but there's got to be more to life than exploring this creek and trying to populate the valley by copulating with loose, hairy girls.
Marquis, stop. Look!
What is that?
It looks like a man-made treehouse.
With fresh food.
And craft beer.
Welcome to the Creek Monkey Tap House, boys. Grab a seat. Creek Monkeys drink free.
Awesome!
The Creek Monkey Tap House in Martinez, California takes their mission of fresh food and beer seriously. They only serve locally raised beef and chicken, as well as local sustainable produce. It's better for you and the planet, and it just tastes better. The beer and wine at Creek Monkey Tap House are chosen with the same care for the highest quality and rotate frequently to make each visit an adventure. Yeah. Swing on in to the Creek Monkey Tap House and enjoy a new legend of amazing food, beer, and wine. The Creek Monkey Tap House, online at creekmonkey.com.
Brewers Publications is proud to announce its latest book, American Sour Beers by Michael Tonsmeyer, with foreword by Russian River's Vinny Chalurzo. Michael's an experienced homebrewer, writer, and lover of sour beers, and is proud to bring you the book on this topic.
What I'm passionate about is the flavors. I'm so excited for my new book, American Sour Beers. The goal of this book was to write something that is very practical, that really will help people to brew better beer. I really wrote it for everyone. The book starts out with advice on their very first sour beer, all the way up to proper technique for stacking barrels at a commercial brewery. Sour beers are my passion. Come see me at the National Homebrewers Conference in Grand Rapids, or this coming fall at the Great American Beer Fest in Denver, Colorado.
Brewers Publications presents American Sour Beers, available this summer at brewerspublications.com and at fine brewing retailers near you. Adventures in Homebrewing have the knowledge and expertise to craft their own gear and original recipes. Some of the things homebrewing.org creates and manufactures in-house are the Brutus brew stands and propane burners, the Serial Killer adjustable two-roller grain mill with 7-pound hopper, custom stainless steel false bottoms designed to fit kegels, coolers, and mini-sized brew pots. Visit Adventures in Homebrewing at the National Homebrewers Conference this June in their home state of Michigan to see more homebrewing.org creations. The brewers at Adventures in Homebrewing have designed a huge selection of original recipes for extract and all-grain brewing. Adventures in Homebrewing original recipes are tried and tested, proven to be of the best quality. And right now, Adventures in Homebrewing is shipping 24 of their best recipes for free. Visit homebrewing.org for the most current selection. Once you try one of Adventures in Homebrewing recipes, you'll keep coming back for more. And now, it's even easier with free shipping on these kits. And don't forget to use the current coupon code AIH10. Adventures in Homebrewing at homebrewing.org.
Now back to Jamil, Tasty, and Blise. It's Brewing with Style.
All right, we're back. We're talking Belgian Double.
Yeah, we are. Man.
Talking?
By like the end of the second show, I'm like,
all right,
I'm feeling happy.
So,
want a recipe?
Let's recap here.
Oh, wait. We got the Jamil.
Oh, yeah. Let's recap here. Scott, your favorite was?
The Chimay.
Chimay.
Yeah, I'd say a Runaway. And then
Runaway. We don't need the rest.
Okay.
John, you had Vesmal.
Vesmal.
Tasty, you had Vesmal.
That's correct.
And I have Vesmal. So, Scott, you're completely incorrect.
What else is new?
What is new?
Actually, no, there's been a fair bit of me being correct in recent months on this show.
I agree.
Oh, no. Don't fill your head with that.
I'm wrong about being correct.
Mm-hmm.
You did a hell of a job buying Beers to Style, though.
Thank you, John. You're right. You are nice now.
Yeah, you got 66% tonight. Excellent.
It's better than the previous 4 months.
I will shut all your mics off right now.
I don't blame you if you do.
All right, so the Vesmal, you know, it's a little more richer, maltier. It's a little more restrained in the fruitiness. But I think that's, you know, it's a nice balance. I think that the Chimay is also quite good. I could go with either one. I think the Vesmal is the better example of that. The Chimay, it's quite a fruit bomb. You know, you get a lot of the cherry, you get a lot of the apple, you get a lot of all that fruitiness. It's kind of a lighter overall. The thing that detracts for me on the Chimay is that dough, peanut shell kind of character.
Yeah, when Mike said peanut shell, I was like, whoa, okay. You know, when you said vinegar on the other one, too.
Yeah, the Thelonious has got some vinegar and other issues going on. So, Vesmal by far for me. The Chimay, still a nice beer.
I'm a great beer.
Not quite, you know, I think, you know, the style, it's lighter in color, it's... You know, it doesn't have the rich maltiness as much as the Vesmal does. So that's why I like the Vesmal better.
Would you say the Chimay's malt profile dropped out? Because it seems a little older.
It's hard to say because that bottle actually does not have a Best Buy date on it.
Okay, interesting. And I'm really curious how this Vesmal bottle would have been 3 or 4 months from now.
Right. I think, you know, a lot of times we tend to drink these and they're quite a bit older.
And Belgians can become too old, right? I mean, they can reach their peak in the bottle, and then they're no longer really presentable. Right?
I like the Chimay Blue better than the Chimay Red. No, but that's a Belgian Strong Dark.
Okay.
Because it's richer, maltier, you know, more along the lines of the Vesmal. But the Vesmal is the top example of the style, and I think it's held its place here as well.
Very good.
I still want to get to the point where I'm, because now...
Where you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I'm almost there, I feel like. It's that tasting things when you bring them up,
uh-huh.
And then, you know, you side by side, and you get your eyes closed, and you go, yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But not being able to, I know I've brought this up before, not being able not, to pick it out without being prompted.
Until someone tells you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a big part of it is just having somebody, you know, tell you what they're tasting. And then you start to pick those things up. You know, it's just, you got to sit with people who will pick those things out and tell you what they're tasting. And then you can, you know, it's not that you want to follow along with what they're doing, but you want to hear some other people's opinions. And, you know, form your own, and you can say, no, I don't taste that. Or, that is that flavor I get.
Or like you may realize you don't pick that up. Like, you don't, those are flavors you don't get.
Right, yeah. Right.
You just need to know that.
Yeah, or you've got a blind spot to something. It's exactly. Like, you know, they'll be like, oh, this is really buttery.
Not one
something.
Instance not going to tell you that, but just, you know, you just for food for thought. Like
more and more, right. The more you taste it, the more you think about it. Yeah. Yeah, you just need to do, you know, like another 8 years of this show, and you'll be in there. I'm just saying.
It does
take great.
Right. Yeah.
Good thing the BJCP added 1,000 more categories.
Yeah, now we got more to learn. Yeah.
Four more years of this. We can go through light-colored German lager, amber-colored German lager, slightly darker German lager, slightly darker than that German lager, dark German lager, and the black German lager.
Wait.
And an extra black German lager.
Yeah. And isn't there a really dark in between dark and black?
Yeah, I missed that one. Yeah, my mistake. Yes. And, you know, cider fermented warmly and all those styles. We can do all that. We got like another 10 years of shows. It's awesome.
Yay. This is great.
Absolutely awesome.
Scott's just like clapping.
No, believe I'll have another board op trained by then, believe
there
me.
There you
go. Be Bevo. That'd be awesome.
You thought I'm not happy about being here. Wait till Beeves in my seat.
Be entertaining. Having chick voice, like kind of, you know, that could be, you never know.
It is
recipe.
Delightful.
Recipe.
Mine.
You're on.
All right, here we go. For 5 gallons, I would use 10 pounds of Belgian pills.
Uh-huh.
5 pounds of Munich.
Uh-huh.
A half pound of Care Munich.
Uh-huh.
And a half pound of Special B.
Uh-huh.
And then I would do Saaz hops all the way through, 2 ounces at 60 minute, 2 ounces at 30, maybe 2 ounces at flame out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a little alpha, but I'm trying to get that Saaz spicy characteristic. And then I would also boil about 3/4 pounds of simple sugar, you know, for 45 minutes to 60 minutes. I would not add it directly to the boil. I would take a gallon of wort out, dilute it first, so you don't scorch the sugar,
mm-hmm.
and then add it into the boil.
Mm-hmm.
And my yeast is the Belgian WLP 550.
Mm. Golden Strong?
I want to say it's a Belgian ale. Just Belgian ale. I don't know. Belgian. Mike, do you know?
I think it is the Belgian ale.
It's Belgian ale.
It's not the strong.
Yeah. 580. I think the 530 is the strong, right?
No, that's
the
Abbey.
Right.
500's is strong?
Right. Yeah.
Hell, I don't know.
Look it up.
70?
Tasty? Recipe?
Oh, I know I made this beer. I don't know how it tasted, but...
yeah, I remember.
It was probably excellent.
All your beers are excellent.
Tasting. Absolutely.
Starting gravity, 1058, 22 IBUs. I don't have quite as much Pilsner as John's beer. Mine's 84% Munich and 14% Pils. And about 1.8 or 2% Carafa Special for the color.
Hmm.
21 IBUs of Holler Tower at 60 minutes, and then just a couple IBUs at 5 minutes. I use the Bohemian Lager yeast, the Y yeast 2124. Bohemian.
Lager yeast.
They made a Belgian ale.
I don't know why. It's not very Belgian-y, I'm thinking, right?
No.
I don't know why.
Maybe I made up for it.
This isn't the recipe awesome. for a Munich Dunkel or something?
Maybe it is. Anyway, I did a step mash, but that didn't matter.
Uh-huh. And then?
Was that appropriate to the style of step mash?
I mean, it could be.
I mean, you're not looking necessarily for a high degree of fermentability. It's not like you're putting in a lot of ingredients.
Lot of them do, I think. And, you know, they add sugar and all that stuff.
Tasty, but you messed around with yeast strains at different temperatures. So I wouldn't be surprised if
What temperature was that at?
The lager strain. Did you ferment it warm?
No, I fermented it cold, like 55, I think. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I tried it.
Interesting.
That's still pretty warm. I mean,
It's not going to put on much.
It's not Belgian,
Belgian
but...
character at all.
What the hell? What kind of recipe is that, Tasty?
I don't know. You could have
just thrown in some other yeast.
It's from like 2008.
And just
said, I don't know what
the lager.
I used a proprietary Belgian strain.
That you can't get.
I really can't reveal. Yeah, you can,
called
you
Bohemian.
You could have right a Bohemian Belgian strain. You could have thrown that in there.
I grew it myself.
That's what I did.
The man's an artist.
I guess I could have grabbed some recipe off the internet, but I grabbed my shitty recipe.
out of some book. There you go.
Artistic license.
Well, I know you. I mean, I know you always take the easy route and use your freaking book. So
hey,
you know
that wasn't the easy route. That book took a lot of time to create. But there's a lot of testing going on there. I'll tell you, if you want to make recipes as good as what could happen in the book, you're out of luck. But the next best thing,
just read it. Don't brew it.
Is to go to SiebelInstitute.com. Sign up for some of their classes. They do some advanced homebrewing courses. They teach professional brewers. They have on campus courses. They have web based courses. This is America's oldest brewing school, by the way, and they've got internationally renowned instructors. A lot of our good friends and people you've heard on the Brewing Network, they are teaching class. You can go there, you can sign up, and they offer more courses than any other brewing school, bar none. So check it out, SiebelInstitute.com. Very cool. And if you want to learn some stuff about brewing, there you go. Don't listen to this show. Go to SiebelInstitute.com.
So if you go to Siebel,
yes,
you might become the next Jamil Zainashef. Is that fair to say?
No. You'd have to be an asshole first, and you know.
Second. You're nice
you
first.
An undergraduate degree in asshole.
Right. You have to have mental problems and all that stuff. Really. I mean, you know, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Just not possible. All right. So where were we? Recipes.
Yeah, your recipe. What's up with... Let's hear it.
You want to hear my recipe?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. You hear my recipe after this break.
Oh, there
you
go. Man, you're
holding out. Yeah, I'm holding out.
He likes to hold out.
I'm a tease. There you go. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, my recipe after this.
Are you a member of the American Homebrewers Association? Well, you should be. Members of the AHA can focus on brewing beer, and the AHA takes care of the rest. The American Homebrewers Association advocates on behalf of homebrewers like you to legalize the hobby in all 50 states and make sure that beer laws make sense. Plus, there are many great benefits that come with your AHA membership, like AHA member deals that give you awesome deals at bars, restaurants, breweries, and more. Zymergy Magazine and eZymergy for tons of articles, how-tos, easy-to-follow recipes, and news about the hobby you love, and access to the members-only content on homebrewersassociation.org. But the AHA can't do it without your support. Join today so the American Homebrewers Association can keep fighting for your homebrewing rights. Visit homebrewersassociation.org or join now from the homepage of the Brewing Network website. Relax. Don't worry. It's the American Homebrewers Association.
Hi, I'm Jamil Zainashef, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainashef. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry. And to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, KeystoneHomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
Downtown Joe's, where everyone is welcome, especially if you like drinking and tasting beer. Head brewer Colin Kaminsky's favorite beers are the Tantric IPA and the Double Secret Probation IPA. But you'll have loads of others to choose from when you redeem your exclusive Brewing Network savings. Downtown Joe's is the best brewery destination and the hottest night spot in Napa. Colin invites all homebrewers and fans of craft beer to stop by and enjoy the great food and beer. Whether you're in the mood for riverside dining, live music, or just hanging out at the bar to meet a person of the opposite sex or a person of the same sex, Downtown Joe's has exactly what you're looking for. And now just mention the Brewing Network to receive $1 off your beer at Downtown Joe's. That's right, take $1 off every one of their great selection of craft beers, including the Lazy Summer Wheat, Golden Thistle Porter, and the Triple Dog Dare You. Come to Downtown Joe's and enjoy the laid-back atmosphere of Napa's best brew pub. Visit DowntownJoe's.com right now for current beers, the live music schedule, or to drool over their delicious menu items. Downtown Joe's, your neighborhood brew pub, where everyone is welcome.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hop Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit AustinHomebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google Plus to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
You're listening to Brewing with Style on the Brewing Network. Now back to Brewing with Style.
So, this is Jamil Zana Chef.
Oh, wait, wait. Hand, like, weird colors, or that's shadows? Your hand right there, that hand.
Hello, shadow.
Oh, shadows.
Hello,
Jesus
shadow.
Christ, I thought you'd like...
He's part alien, dude.
That's some weird...
Do you think I had some pigment problems there?
I thought you'd maybe had your hand up an elephant's ass or something. I don't know. Is your elephant feeling okay at home? Or is your elephant got some problems? You need to do
a
little...
tough question to answer.
Yeah, right, well, there you go. I don't want to get too personal here. All right, so... my recipe for a Belgian double would be starting gravity 1064, 15.7 P.
Pretty big.
Finishing, you're shooting for about 3 Plato, 1012. That's about 81% attenuation. IBUs 23, color 15 SRM. Your ABV is going to be about 6.9%. So I like to use 10.6 pounds Pilsner. 1 pound of Munich malt. You're going to use half pound aromatic, half pound Cara Munich 60, half pound Special B, half pound cane sugar, and then you can hit with 3/4 pound of the Belgian dark candy syrup with the D2.
D2 in this beer, huh?
D2. Mm-hmm. And then, you can go the D1.
It's fairly light, yeah. The D, of course, you use less of the...
3/4 pound. I mean, one little container.
I got you.
And then Mash 149-ish.
Ish.
Fahrenheit.
Gotcha.
Tetanang, 1.5 ounces at 4% alpha acid. Give you 23 IBUs at 60 minutes. Yeast, I like the 530 Abbey Ale yeast. It's a cleaner yeast.
It attenuates better, too.
Attenuates well. It's cleaner yeast. Accentuates the malty. I kind of like that character there. Ferment right around 64 degrees and let it rise up to 70 over about a week. And then you carbonate about 3-4 volumes.
There 3 to 4.
There you go.
There you are. I think makes a fine double.
Sounds good to me.
Award-winning double.
Yeah.
I've never carbonated in the bottle. I did a long time ago, but I never made a highly carbonated beer.
Uh-huh.
Conditioned. Is that harder to do? Do you have to like add a lot of sugar when you go to bottle to get that go that high?
You do.
Probably more yeast.
Yeah. The problem is if your yeast is already tired out by brewing beer around beer. 6-7%. Right. Often it takes longer to reach that carbonation level.
Gotcha.
So you got to leave it warm for quite a bit. And eventually it'll reach that point.
Can you add too much sugar to this style? Usually you see 1 pound.
Right.
1.5 pounds. People get sugar happy.
Well, I got
you did 3/4.
Well, plus the half, so I got 1.25 pounds.
Gotcha. But it's still under 10% sugar, right? Probably.
Yeah. Right.
Consider that the threshold.
Yeah, you can go up to 20%.
Really?
It starts getting a little funky there. It starts getting a little too much, I think. The trick is, you want to make sure that, if you're adding the sugar, it gets fermented out.
Yeah.
And end up adding some sweetness and, overcoming the amount of alcohol that the beer can, ferment if you're doing a bigger beer or something like that.
Gotcha.
But, 10% is usually a good rule of thumb in a Belgian. 5% in some American style, like if you're trying to do a double IPA, 5 to 10. In Belgians, 10 to 15, something like that.
Can you overpitch in this style where you don't have enough ester production?
Right. You can overpitch in any style, I would think.
Okay. But you always recommend a starter, of course, an oxygen.
Right.
And
yeah, you gotta have growth.
Okay.
And the growth, the Belgians, I guess, are told to pitch less and rely more on growth. And you get more of that flavor, that stress flavor type of thing.
More of the phenols.
Right. But I always worry if you're pitching less, making sure you get enough attenuation.
Is that why you're raising it up 1 degree a day?
Right. Okay. I like to raise it over time. And I also, I don't like to pitch less than a standard ale yeast. I pitch what I do in every other ale. So maybe I get a little less flavor, but I make sure that thing finishes, with some dryness.
Because you don't want the cloying sweetness.
Right. That's a much worse error than not enough phenols and fruity esters and things like that. I think, and for me, I actually like a little bit cleaner Belgian. I don't want a lot of fusel alcohols. I don't want a lot of headache-inducing kind of character there. So that's a big one for me.
Yeah, that fusel alcohol, you can almost smell it. Hurts right off the bat.
You can smell it, and it hurts.
wise
words by Mr. Plisse.
Is this Jay-Z's love medical corner?
If you can smell it and it hurts, it's time to go to the doctor. Jay-Z's medical corner.
That's it.
For the right after tip this. There.
I'll give you the tip. I'll give you the whole thing right after this. We got any questions in the chat? I keep forgetting. 888-401-BEER. 888-412-337. If you're listening, you're welcome to call in when we're doing shows. Apparently now it's fine. 8 years of no calls. Now we can do calls.
We're used to it.
I need you to know what a near heart attack I just had right there by you sitting back after this.
God's sake.
I'm not
break.
Ready for the break.
He had this God, look of sheer on. Terror. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
He's keeping you honest, Scott.
Yeah. All right, let's do a question from the chat. He says, this is from Pete DeDink. I kind of know the answer of just to make a better beer. He says, but double seem to be overshadowed by dark strongs.
Yeah.
So is it better to brew a double on the higher end of the style parameters? I guess he means to more emulate a dark strong?
I see what he means. In competition. I think if it's a competition where they're merging all the Belgians into the, the one category. I don't know. I think, you run the risk. It depends. If you go smaller and people know what they're talking about, then they'd be like, oh, this is a really nice double. If you go bigger, in general, it's always best to push the upper end of the category because people are idiots. But
want to maintain the SRM of this style, you don't have to look like a dark strong.
Right. If you do that, if you're competing with dark strong, I think if it's a really well made dark strong, you're going to have trouble competing with it. The double. I don't know. I'd go towards the upper end, I would think.
Your recipe was 6.9.
Right. Yeah. Just because, they're going to be drinking these bigger ones. But hopefully they would start out with these and they'd be like, oh, this is nice. They do the blondes first and they'd come to this and they go, oh, that's really good. And they'd, you wouldn't be the first beer. And then, you'd be the first, flavorful beer. And then you'd be like, oh. And then they'd get tired of it by the time they reach the darks. I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough when they're judging that way. But, yeah, like you said, in general, stay at the high end of the range.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another. I brewed a Belgian double on Saturday. It was 11 gallons. Used a starter. The recipe had 2 pounds of sugar in it. It was table sugar. Basically, I put it into the fermenter on Saturday afternoon, and it's already down to 1014 from 1068 starting on Wednesday night. So in, 3 days? Mm-hmm. First 3 days at 64 degrees, then raised it up to 74, and within 1 day at 74, it was already at 1014. It was chugging away hard, so I cold crashed. I usually let the yeast work until they're done, but I'd never brewed with straight sugar, so I wasn't sure how long to let it go. I panicked and dropped the temp. No. Did I do the right thing? Should I have let it keep going?
Oh, you fucked up, dude.
Always let it keep going. You got to finish the beer.
There's almost never a time when you want to arrest fermentation.
Right.
I mean, I imagine there's some scenario where you would, but it just screws it up because the yeast, the end of fermentation is where they start breaking down and reassimilating a lot of those compounds that you don't want in the beer.
If you can determine they're not in there, then maybe.
I just can't. I can't imagine. They're always there.
Yeah, but are they below the flavor threshold?
Yeah, if you don't let them finish up, they will be. Yeah. They'll be too high. Yeah, you almost never want to do that.
Could he warm it back up?
Yeah.
In that case, no. It's not going to do it. If you do it, so. A friend of mine, Ken at Device Brewing, he had his glycol chiller stuck on and crashed his beer, like a 14, 15 Play-Doh beer, at the end of day one. So it started rocking, and then it got crashed overnight. It came in the next day. I'm like, just crank the temperature up. And, Chris White and I were talking to him. We're having some beers and talking, and Chris is like, "Oh, it's not gonna finish out," and I'm like, raise it. It's a big enough beer. The amount of alcohol that was created was small. It only got down to about 50, and then I said, "Well, raise the temperature up. you know, chase it up to, you know, probably 70. And then if that doesn't do it, hit it with some oxygen, you know, it'll probably start going. If not, you know, then you're probably screwed. But, you know, it was so early on that so it ended up working. It ended up fermenting out. He had problem. But, you know, at the end of fermentation, the alcohol, it's almost all alcohol, no sugar. And that's the problem. It's not going to start up again. I mean, you could try it, you know, raise the temperature, but generally you'll just get a little bit of glug.
It's a hostile environment for the yeast to come back to life
at the
end, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're already in the marathon mode. They're like, you're like, what, dude, you're freezing me now?
Right. They, you know, they just like, shut down.
Give me my blanket.
They barf up all their...
You're like, I'm done.
They're junking them and settle at the bottom.
Yeah. I always recall this time where I did this Golden Strong. Remember the one that you called the sweet-ass Golden Strong? when it finished, I had you trying it. Yeah, it was sweet as hell. But I kept working with it. I would chill it. You know, down to like 38 degrees for like a week, and then I'd bring it back out and let it warm up again, and it would start fermenting some more. Did it like 3 or 4 cycles, and then finally it dried out.
Is it truly fermenting, or is it just letting off CO2?
No, I got dry and dry by taste as well. Okay. You got a gold medal in the second round.
Some of the Belgian yeast, maybe they keep going. You know, if you got Brett in it, Brett will keep going. You could do it with Brett. So, you know, he could give it a try.
But yeast do have a tendency, when they do go to sleep, they do, you know, they do wake up. I mean, you know, it's like refrigerated.
Depends how much alcohol is there. I mean, he added the 2 pounds of cane sugar and, you know.
Yeah, strong beer.
I don't know.
So what should one do if they see that you're like at or past your intended finishing gravity?
Keep going.
You just let it, and then you adjust the recipe next time? Is that
right? Yeah, I live and learn. Yeah.
It's better to let it. Go ahead and finish out. You know, you never really want to force the end of fermentation. I mean, you know, it just doesn't
bad
do good.
Idea.
Yeah,
I did that with a box. Earned it. Yeah. So pissed at myself.
There you go. All right. Anything else? We're done. We got music. Hey! All right.
Cue cards.
Another fine episode of Brewing with Style. If you enjoyed the show, check out our fine sponsors. Check out northernbrewer.com. Check out siebelinstitute.com. Check out the Brewing Network store.com. Thebrewingnetwork.com/store. They got lots of goodies in there. If you buy those goodies, it all goes to the bottom line. The Brewing Network helps support shows like this. Gives Bevo her goodies that she needs. Her job. That's one of the goodies she needs. Gives Scott, I don't know.
Your pension.
A purpose in life. It gives Tasty somewhere to be.
Place to go.
And John, you know.
You can say it.
Somebody who needs him. I need you, John. I need you. And me, it gives me hope for tomorrow. Until then, brew strong, everybody.
And of it.